Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello. And welcome to this holy half hour here on your local radio station, 3TFM, with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Silkcoats North Parish Church. At 3TFM, we like to do real programmes about real people locally. So I have a local person with me tonight, and this is a very special interview for me. For a long time, I've cherished interviewing people who have real issues, but you can imagine that people with real issues are a bit hesitant to go on air. So I'm very pleased to say that Karen has come tonight to the studio, and she's a friend of mine, and I didn't have to over-persuade you, did I?
No, you did not.
You very kindly offered to come, because tonight's programme is about a subject that affects an awful lot of people, far more people than people realise. It sneaks up on the people themselves, and they don't even know it themselves sometimes, and it's certainly misunderstood. So I'm hoping that, Karen, you might shed a bit of light on the subject of depression, because you have suffered from that from time to time.
And I have indeed.
How are you tonight, by the way?
Oh, I'm fine.
You're
much
doing fine.
Better. I'm
good.
Fine, thank you.
But in the past, you have had a bit of depression.
Oh, a bit of depression, yeah. Alec, I would say. It's affected my life, but now I'm starting to get my life back together again.
Yeah. Would you say you've had it many times or just one-off?
No, I'd say it was a one-off.
And when we say depression, folk say they're awfully depressed on Monday morning going back to work, but it's a bit deeper than that, eh?
It's a lot deeper than this. It can take a while to fix. And it's done by medication as well and as care of your friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain a wee bit the difference between just feeling the blues and medically depressed?
Medically depressed is when you really need to go and get help, when someone like your friend has suggested that you're not acting like your normal self. You do really need to seek help. Monday blues is something that you can wash off after a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but when you're clinically depressed, you really need to get help because it lasts a lot longer.
Aye. Some folks say you have to pull yourself up by the bootlaces, but you find yourself you ain't got any bootlaces, far less the ability to pull.
That's true, but in circumstances like this, bootlaces wouldn't have helped. As I said, medically you need to get help. Other people will know when you're not acting yourself and you're behaving oddly, which I did.
Do you think that other people notice it before you notice it?
Without a doubt, because you think you're acting normal with it and you're not acting normal.
Uh-huh. Can you get a wee example about that? Like in your own case, were you doing strange or something, you know?
I was doing a lot of things that were strange, and people who know me will be aware of that. Saying and doing things oddly, acting differently, didn't want to be around people, was kidding on I wasn't in. I just wanted to be by myself, just be in my own company, basically. People, my friends would invite me down, I didn't want to go, I'd make an excuse.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to listen to some music in between the chatting, and I've asked you to pick the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your first track tonight?
It's A Beautiful Life by Don McLean.
It's A Beautiful Life seems to be the wrong title if we're talking about depression, because it doesn't feel like A Beautiful Life. So, how did you pick that one?
Basically, Don McLean talks and he explains how he doesn't know where his brain is at the minute. It's stopped, but he's still going on.
Okay, here's Don McLean to account for himself.
I wish my brain would operate instead of standing still. It's all so complicated. The thread of my own thoughts is disappearing to what seems to be a logical conclusion. I guess I've run out of ideas. I've heard a million songs about this and that, and it gave me satisfaction. but I see it's a beautiful life. Now comes the second verse, and I have to at least keep the measure straight. It's been a long time now, and I'm really insecure about it all. I guess I didn't like seeing the things I saw. Who needs it? It's been a little painful, and I hope I don't like pain, because I'd hate to think about myself like that. Because I see it's a beautiful life. How did I ever let some of those ideas out of the box? It was just a feeling I had, and I liked the verses, they were so nice and even. My eye will never be that good again. I lost a certain sense of rhythm, but I gained a sense of time. 'Cause I see it's a beautiful life. I like the old things, but I just can't give up the idea of trying something a little bit different, even if it's stupid. 'Cause I see it's a beautiful life. Yes, I see it's a beautiful life. And I see it's a beautiful life.
So you picked It's a Beautiful Life. Can you just explain it again, how that connects with being depressed?
Basically, Don McLean is explaining how he said things and he'd done things that normally he wouldn't ever do, and that he was trying to find his life back together again. And that's exactly depression, getting your life back together again.
I'm hearing in my head the picture of Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall and into many pieces.
That's correct. That's what depression is about, because you're in thousands of pieces and millions of pieces, because you're just not you, you're 100 persons.
Can you explain that slightly further? It's quite interesting. You're 100 persons.
Because you've not got the same person with two heads, you're the same person with 1,000 heads, because you're rushing and you've got more adrenaline, although you don't want to, you don't know what you want to do. You're cleaning, you're going to the shops, you're doing everything, but you're doing it on autopilot. You could be going into a shop, picking up a basket and putting shopping in it. You don't need it, but you're putting it in for the sake of putting it in. You've no memory, you forget everything. It's like being a new baby again, growing and learning.
Your brain's like scrambled eggs.
Exactly.
And the thoughts are out of place. Is that the same for your heart? There's the feelings all over the place.
Your heart beats more and more because your adrenaline's going more and more, and you're scared. You're scared of people round about you, whatever. You just want to get in and get out. That's the reason why you're rushing. You're going in to buy something that you don't really need, but you just want in the shop and out the shop.
And you're saying you get adrenaline surges. The usual idea of depression is that they lie down like a dead duck and kind of get off the couch, but you're saying you're full of energy.
There's a lot of different ways in your depression. At days I could just lie there and I didn't want to do anything. The other days I was cleaning because I wanted to clean. I had to clean.
Clean everything,
you know, in drawers, out drawers, everything. Rooms that you've already cleaned.
Just as depressed doing nothing on the couch. Or being hyperactive, doing everything in the house.
Yep, you can still be depressed.
Yeah, there's no one form of depression.
There's not one form of depression.
And even for the one person, it's different on different days.
You could go maybe 2 or 3 days, you just want to lie in your bed, and then you could go days where you think, oh, this is brilliant, I can do something, and you clean, and then you go back to being depressed again because you think, I shouldn't have done that.
And how do family and friends react to that? Do they prefer you on the couch, or do they prefer you the hyperactive?
I think they prefer me being me, being Karen.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of the condition, it took a long while before they actually got there and they got me back. But they stayed with me and they worked with me and they showed me guidance a lot of the times. A lot of them, especially Dixie would just be there for me.
But we'll come on to that later about how you got help. But staying with this, a downswing of this at the moment. One of the features of depression, you were saying to me earlier, was you feel a bit on your own.
Very much on your own. There's nobody can help you. You're in your own wee box.
Although you do have friends, as you've said. At the worst point, having friends is not the help. You just feel there's nobody to help.
There's nobody to help. The only person that can help you is clinically getting help. And that's what I've done. My friend suggested that I should go to the hospital, and that's what I've done. Because, as I said, I was out of character.
But some folk hesitate to go to the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Why do folk hesitate to go for help?
Because they don't think there's anything wrong with them. It's other people who spot it, who notice that you're out of character. When you're depressed, you don't realise anything. You think you're still walking, doing the things that you should be doing, but you could be doing 10 to a dozen, you know, or you could be wobbling, you could be saying things that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So do you feel very alone?
Very alone. There's nobody can help you. I mean, it doesn't matter who's there. You just really want to be by yourself.
Right. Well, that's a cue for our next song, eh? You've picked...
Eric Carmen, All By Myself.
When I was young, I never needed anyone. And making love was just for fun. Those days are gone. Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known. But when I dial the telephone, nobody's home.
Welcome to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, where we're discussing the subject of depression, but we're not just discussing the subject. We have Karen in the studio who has suffered depression. I was just wondering, Karen, not just for yourself, but in general, what causes depression to anybody?
There's no known factor. It could be one thing or it could be a thousand things that could bring depression on. It could be a little thing, it could be a big thing.
Is it sometimes in the genes that families pass it on genetically?
Who knows? I don't know about that. What I do know for my own personal belief is that there was family tragedies and then there was other things on top of that and top of that. And I think I just got worn down because normally I'm a happy-go-lucky person, as people know.
It could be one big tragedy, but it could also just be a number of things added up.
Stepping stones.
And there's the last straw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know of one family that had several bereavements in quick succession and then their budgie died and they'd held themselves together and then when the budgie died, it was the last straw and they cracked up then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when you got depressed, you felt all by yourself.
Uh-huh.
You felt you were disintegrating.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain was running about in all directions. Sometimes you were lethargic, sometimes you were hyperactive.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see any other symptoms or...
Crying. I used to cry a lot and I used to laugh a lot, but there was no reason for it. It was totally out of character. It could be anything. You'd be sitting there yourself, next minute you'd burst into tears and you wouldn't know why.
Yeah.
And you knew that you were hurting yourself, you know, with your depression, because you wouldn't go, at first you wouldn't go and seek help. You wanted to, but you never had the courage to do it because you never actually thought, there's anything wrong with me. You go to the doctor will just say, oh, it's Monday day blues. But when
So how did you get alerted to the fact that you do have depression?
My friend.
And how do they sort of say the right words to you? What do they do?
Oh, she was quite blunt about it, actually. She just turned around and said to me, if you don't go to the hospital, I'm taking you to the hospital.
So what happened then? You said, okay, take me to the hospital.
I went home and I thought about it. I phoned my sister and my sister took me up there and then and I got admitted.
But you saw the wisdom in what she said when she held the mirror up and pointed out.
I knew I definitely, what was happening to me was totally out of character.
When she did that to you, was there a bit of a fallout? Did you not
thank her for doing it? No, I actually appreciated it. I actually appreciated that she had the strength to tell the truth and to tell me that I wasn't, and my family noticed as well, I wasn't acting myself.
Was it several people told you at the same time?
Quite a few people wanted to tell me, but quite a few people didn't know how to tell me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But my friend was just quietly blunt about it and just said, you're going to hospital.
Well, I think that's the sign of a best friend, that they do have the courage. And it's the strength of your friendship that you're still friends.
Yep. I mean, she's a close friend. I didn't realise
how... What's her name?
Dixie. I didn't realise how close a friend I had, but now I do and now I realise, and it's been fantastic. She's helped me and she's guided me, along with her husband Paul. They've guided me a lot, they've been there and they've supported me.
You wanted to send a message to Dixie then?
I would just like to wish Dixie happy birthday on Monday. Happy birthday, Dixie. And I'd like to dedicate this song, Shakespeare's Sister, Stay.
If this world is wearing thin and you're thinking of escape, I'll go anywhere with you. Just wrap me up in chains. But if you try to go alone, don't think I'll understand.
Best friend Dixie and other friends helped you, largely by getting you to go and get help.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what sort of help you got?
Well, when I went into hospital, I spoke to a psychiatrist. I've got a CPN. I come out whenever she wants. She comes out and she speaks to me.
CPN is a nurse?
Yeah.
Psychiatric nurse.
Psychiatric nurse. I see her maybe once a month just to talk, see how things are, how am I growing. Is there anything troubling me? Is there anything bothering me? And tries to iron out anything. When I was in hospital, I got all the medical help that I needed. I also had my friends and family come to visit me. But I think I needed that hospital stay.
Yeah. The medical side, they give you pills and they also give you counselling.
They do indeed.
What do you think yourself, but what helps you more, pills or counselling?
I think now it's basically counselling and your friends being round about you. Mm. Although you still take your medication and that's in the background, but obviously having your friends round about you where you know that you feel okay going to their house and sitting drinking coffee and that.
I'll run by you my theory that it's a bit like Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. You send in the soldiers to tame the wildness, but they don't solve the whole thing. You then need the politicians to come in and set up the systems.
Mm-hmm.
So am I right in thinking the pills give you that initial sort of stability into which the counselling and friends can be a helpful advice? And
I think that's true, because when you've got your medication in, you do become clearer and you do become more settled, so you see more reason. And then when you, that's when the counselling and your friends and family do come into it.
What advice would you give to friends? What can they do at this stage?
Just stay by me. Just be there for me and just work with me.
And they've a lot to put up with in some cases, eh?
A lot to put up with.
Can you give us any illustrations of just how it works from day to day?
Well, today, like, I was over at my friend's and it's great because you could just open the front door and you're like, hello. And they're like, hello, put the kettle on, which I never do. I've not done it yet, sorry. But they're just close and it's good friendship.
And who else has helped, apart from medical and the friends?
Your family. Your family is most important. They're there for you as well. They understand. They see differences in you, especially the children. They notice.
What about your Christian faith? How does that work in this?
When you're in the very bottom and of depth, you don't think about Christianity, you don't think about anything. But when you're starting to come up and you're starting to be well again, you do think about it. You do start thinking about going back to church. You do think about God and your whole well-being.
Is it possible that it's even a hindrance? Does it give you guilt trips for being in this state?
I don't think at the time when you're really down, you don't think about anything. But you're correct there, Alec, when you're saying when you're starting to get better, it is becoming guilt. It does become a hindrance, because even when you walk by the church, you feel guilty because you know that you should be in there. You should phone and just say, look, I'm sorry I've not attended. I will come back at my own pace, but I'm not ready yet.
But on the more positive side, do you think it has been a help at some stage in the process?
I think religion is a help, and I think having it there with you. I've got my Bible, not saying that I've read it lately, but I do have my Bible.
Is there anything in the religious side that was particularly of help?
Just your faith, just in your belief, just knowing that God's there for you and He's listening to everything you've got to say.
Yeah. And this road to recovery is quite a long road, and it's not all upswing, is it?
No, it's not. You do have your good days, you do have your bad days. You still feel guilty about what you've done, what you've said and things like that. But again, as I said, people who know you, they stand by you.
So this next song you've picked, you were saying to me earlier, it's about the upswing, but the pain in the upswing. Can you explain the pain in the upswing?
Because when you're coming out of darkness and you're coming into light, you do remember things that you've said, you do remember things that you've done, and you're walking through that pain, but you know you've got to do it, you've got to have the courage to be able to do it.
And is the pain a mixture of things, like, does it include embarrassment?
Of course it is. Embarrassment's a big thing, because again, as I said, you say things and you do things that are totally out of character, and when you're getting better and you've got to face up to it.
Right, so let's hear Walking in Memphis.
Shoes and I boarded the plane. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. WC Handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a girl can be. Then I'm walking in Memphis, walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam, walking in Memphis. Do I really feel the way I feel? I saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue, followed him up to the gates of Graceland, and watched him walk right through. Now security that did not see him, they just hovered around his tomb. There's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. When I was walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, do I really feel the way I feel? Walking in Memphis.
So Karen, we're coming near the end of our holy half hour, and thank you very much for sharing about your experience of depression. But we would like to finish on the upswing a bit, and we've got one more piece of music. But before that, if you look back over your whole experience, what lessons would you think you've learned, or what advice could you give to somebody that is there? What would you suggest?
Seek help. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't think that it's a small thing. Go and get help and you will get better.
Yeah, you think at the time it'll never end, but...
But it will end. There is a clearer side, there is another side.
I'm also conscious, though, that your experience is one big, long depression, which you didn't have before then, and you haven't had since then.
Mm.
But there are some people who are, they call them bipolar, used to be manic depressing, where they go up and down on a regular sort of basis. That's its own whole program as well. It's not been your experience.
No.
We are conscious that there are folk in that position.
There is folk out there like
so,
that.
When you're in the down and you do think you're alone and there is nothing can be done, your advice is that something can be done.
Something can be done. Don't give up hope. Play good music. Cheer yourself up.
Well, thanks very much, Karen, for coming in. We really appreciate your courage in coming. Your
Thank
honesty
you. You're
and
welcome.
Your sharing. And we wish you well and we hope you never do experience it again. Let's finish then with this happy, rousing note.
It's from T-Rex and it's Light of Life. La 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 la, the light of love. Oh, light of love, won't you shine on?